I'm as surprised to see you this morning as you are to see me. But as Raphael shared, Pastor Jeff is not well. He made his way here this morning and was just too sick to come and bring God's word to you. So third string again, because Pastor Tim is on vacation. You know, sometimes that's how it goes. This morning, actually every Sunday morning as I'm making my way up 13, just about when I get past the grocery store and the big castle shoe stores on the other side, I can start to see the dome of the sanctuary, and I begin to get excited because I know that I am going to encounter the living God in a time of worship and celebration and praise. I hope you realize how blessed you are, not only to have the pastoral staff you have and the pastor you have in Jeff, but also all of the many people that take a responsibility to prepare their hearts to lead you in worship. This is an amazing place, and God has gathered together an amazing group of leaders for you, because you are an amazing group of people that God is doing something with in this community and beyond. This morning, I saw the patterns of the frost on the dome. And you know, it's kind of a funny-looking building from the outside. But it's not the building. It's what happens in this room and in these rooms. This is a good place. It's a place where God is doing some important work. I'm going to share with you basically one verse of Scripture today, but I want to set it up with a few more. And I'm realizing now just how poorly that shows up on the big screen. You know, I thought the colors would do better than that, but they didn't. So we're going to, in a lot of ways, do this the old-fashioned way. If you don't have your Bible or you don't have your Bible app, there are Bibles there in the pews. So I would like everybody to get a Bible of some sort and turn to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. Now, Acts is written by Luke, the same writer as of the gospel. And he's continuing the story here. Some of you who went to Sunday school as a kid may remember that there were always lessons about who were the 12 disciples. And you had to remember who the 12 were. And you thought you had a head start on it if you could just go Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Yeah, no. Not all of those were of the 12. Many people believe that the Gospel of Luke and the second edition, Acts, are actually the report of the Apostle Peter's ministry, and that Luke was a companion of Peter. We do understand from the text that he was a physician. That explains why in the Gospel and in Acts, Luke focuses so much on the poor and the dispossessed and those who are in great need, because he saw people's pain. And he recognized it was through that lens that he saw Jesus at work. You know, the four Gospels tell the same story in different ways based on who the writer was and who the audience was. And Luke saw the compassion of Jesus. And we see that throughout the Gospel. And then we see it in the book of Acts, the compassion that Jesus instilled in his apostles and in the church. So Acts chapter 1 takes up at the end of Jesus' earthly ministry. So I'm just going to read beginning in verse 1 and through verse 9 to kind of set the scene for today's text. In my former book, he's referring to the Gospel of Luke, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up into heaven after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. Let's stop there for just a moment. Luke is saying, my friend, in this story I am continuing to tell, I told you all about who Jesus was and everything he did until the moment that he was taken up, until the very last time here on earth with his disciples. Verse 3, after his suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So when they met together, they asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? They still don't get it. And friends, for me, that is enough evidence to know that it's okay for me not to get it all the time. I don't have to understand it. I just have to have faith that God knows what he's doing. And he will either reveal it to me in his own time, or he'll explain it all later in eternity. So they asked, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and the ends of the earth. After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. Let's stop there. The introductory video this morning, we get Jesus' last words on the cross. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Here we get Jesus' last words to his disciples before he ascended into heaven to sit at the right hand of God to be our interceder. If you were going to share your last words with the people that you love the most, what would it be? Would it be, sure is a sunshiny day today? Or maybe, I have a message for you to send to Jim Irsay about those Colts. No, it wouldn't be that. You would say to them the most important thing you had to say. Now the disciples said, you know, Jesus, I think it's probably time for you to start your earthly kingdom. And Jesus said, you know, that's not for you to worry about. It was as if you and I were gathered around a loved one's bed and one of us said the most pressing thing on our mind. You know, where's the key to the safe deposit box? That's kind of where the disciples' minds were. What's next? What about us? You know, we've been through all of this with you. What about us? What are you going to do? But Jesus said, don't worry about that. God's got all of that in hand. He's going to take care of it. But this is the most important thing I have to say to you. The very last thing I have to say to you. Oh, guess I don't know what I'm doing. Did I shut it off? Sure did. But you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and the ends of the earth. Okay, God's got the whole big picture handled. Here's the most important thing I can say to you, my beloved followers, my closest friends. The Holy Spirit's going to come. I've already promised that. We read about that later in Acts chapter 2. It's called Pentecost because it was 50 days after the Passover. It was the second great celebration of the year. And the Holy Spirit came to 120 that were in that upper room. And it came as if it were tongues of fire on them. And they bore witness in languages they had never, ever learned. Remember, most of these guys were illiterate, did not know how to read. People, fishermen, laborers from Galilee. They didn't know foreign languages. They knew Koine Greek, which everybody spoke, and they spoke Aramaic, which was their native tongue. But they went out into the street, and people from all over the Roman Empire who were there because of the Passover. Do you guys like to take vacations and trips? Anybody ever consider some of those trips pilgrimages? Like, this is someplace I really want to go. Now imagine that trip to go to Passover, if you will, took you 3 months to walk there. Would you just like be there for the weekend and go home? No, they stayed from all over the empire. Jewish people who'd come for Passover stayed at least until Pentecost. So they were still all there. And they heard the good news of Jesus Christ preached to them in their native language. The Holy Spirit came upon them, upon the disciples. And they heard the truth of the gospel of Jesus. Think about that for a minute. From there, it began to spread throughout the entire empire. People went home, and in their synagogues, they began to say, this thing happened while we were in Jerusalem. I think maybe this Jesus he's talking about might just be the Messiah. And they studied the scripture, the Old Testament. But God has chosen this 12 to be the carriers of that message. When the Holy Spirit comes on you, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. First, let's talk about what a witness is. This is a legal term. A witness is someone who can give testimony to what they have seen and they have heard and they have experienced personally. You go into court, and if you weren't there, what you have to say is called what? Hearsay evidence. People who bring hearsay are not witnesses. It's their own experience. They could go forward and say, we walked with Jesus for these 3 years, and this is what we saw him do, and this is what we saw him say. And then we saw him crucified, but then we saw him risen from the dead and ascended into heaven. They bore testimony to their own personal experience. And Jesus said, that's the most important thing you can do, my friends, is tell people what you have experienced. Don't go argue with them. Don't go try to teach them theology. Don't ignore them. Tell them what you have experienced. Be my witnesses. And that call was not just for the 12, because if you know Jesus Christ, if you've experienced the living God, there has been something that has happened in you, and you have a change in experience. You've had an experience that changed who you are. Jesus isn't saying, you know, go tell them about what so-and-so did or what happened there. Tell them about your own experience. You know why we are told to be witnesses? because a witness is telling what our own experience is, and guess what? Nobody can argue with your experience. What you have experienced, you know to be true. And people can't argue with that. Well, they can say, well, this or that or the other. But you know what you know because you were there when you encountered God. But let's focus forward here a little bit. You'll be my witnesses where? And we already talked about this, sorry. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, all of Samaria, and to the very ends of the earth. I have redefined those four physical locations in a way that for me helps me better understand what Jesus was saying to us in our day. Because none of us live in Jerusalem. So Jerusalem, in my definition, is my people. Who are my folks? Who are the people that I encounter and I interact with? Family, friends, hopefully neighbors, co-workers. Just take a moment. When I retired from full-time pastoring a church to be a part of Horizon International, the AIDS orphan ministry, we found ourselves in a position where I needed to make a little money. Didn't want to touch Social Security. Certainly didn't want to touch my retirement during this season. So I picked up a little part-time job. And that job puts me in a position where I am alone in a van or a vehicle, often with individuals, up to 3 or 4 hours. You know, and at first when I got there, they were all pretty afraid of me because the word got out right away that I was a pastor. Just like, stay back from that guy. But over time, and they began to realize that actually, I'm just a human being like everybody else, there was an opportunity for those men to become my people. And now, at their initiative, very often we have spiritual conversations. People who are done with the church because of things they've seen happen. People that were raised in the church but were like, oh, as an adult, they just kind of got away from it. Some people who are actively involved in the life of a church, of a congregation, followers of Jesus. And we get to talk about that. And I can tell them about my experience and what I know, and they can tell me about theirs, and we can allow the Holy Spirit to work in that. See, these have become my people. Who are your people? Who do you encounter on a regular basis that you are called to be a witness to? Quite often, being a witness is as much showing as it is telling. You see, they didn't have any interest in hearing what I had to say until they observed my life and realized that I was not that judgmental, hypocritical guy that they were sure all pastors were. They've become my people. You know, and one day, hopefully not too far down the road, I'll be able to leave that part-time job and devote myself full-time to the orphan ministry. And that is the piece that I will miss. Yeah, I'll miss acting like a truck driver and driving semi-tractors and big equipment some, but yeah, I've had enough of that. I'll miss the people because when I'm no longer there, they won't be my people. But who are your people? Who are your people in this moment? You see, that's your Jerusalem. Jesus said, you're going to be witnesses to those people that you know and you are already connected with. Judea. Remember, geographically, Judea was the region in which Jerusalem sat. It was a larger, bigger picture. So I call that my community, our community at large. Here, you have to define what that is. Wawasee School District? North Webster, Syracuse, Warsaw? I don't know. Maybe it's your workplace. Maybe you drive a half hour, 40 minutes to work, and there's a group of folks there that are your greater community. Maybe it's your neighbors. You know, my observation is that if you live on a lake, you're quite likely more friendly than other people because your neighbors are right there next to you. Not everybody, but for the most part. So who's your community? Your workplace, the school system? Who do you interact with in this greater community? And it's not just geographical. Again, it's who are your people? Who's your community? Who are you a part of? You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, your people. You'll be my witnesses in all of Judea. That means your community. And let me just commend you as a group, as a church, as a congregation. You guys have an amazing witness in this greater community. But don't let it just be the North Webster Church of God's responsibility to be a witness in this community. That's the responsibility of each of us as individuals, to define who our community is and be witnesses there. Those two are kind of relatively easy, right? But what about Samaria? Samaria was geographically located just north of Jerusalem and Judea. Jesus was from Galilee, which was up here. Samaria was the place where those people who lived, who had intermarried during the time of the exile, and when Israel and Judah, when they were overtaken and controlled by foreign powers, they had stayed. Now, the people in Galilee and the people in Judea really did not care for the Samaritans. In fact, they hated them. A good Jew, if he had to go from Galilee down to Jerusalem, would literally cross the Jordan River and walk through the edge of the desert to get past Samaria and then cross back over to get into Judea. They didn't even want to set foot where those Samaritans might live. Remember Jesus in an encounter in a Samaritan village? He and the disciples were in a hurry to get somewhere, so they went through, and then he stopped at the well and talked with that woman. A good Jewish boy would never talk to a Samaritan, especially a Samaritan woman. They were looked down upon. They were hated. So I would define Samaria as the people that I'm not really sure about. You know, those folks that you kind of look at with a side eye. Those people you look down on. Those people you're pretty sure you can't be trusted just because. You know, in our country and around the world, there's a history of racial mistrust, not based on experience, but based on prejudice. So we might look down on someone with a different skin color just because. Or we might look down on those that are poor or in poverty. Or if you're one of those that feel like you don't have enough, you might look down upon those people that you think have too much. Or maybe it's the criminal. Or, you know, I don't know who you look at and kind of say, yeah, I know about those people. The people you're just not sure about, the people you don't trust. In fact, the people that you might just automatically have a prejudice against. That's Samaria. And Jesus didn't say, you know, go talk to your people and go talk to your community, and that's good. He said, go be a witness, go tell people what you have experienced, even the people that you don't trust, even the people that you look down on. Be a witness. And again, this church, this congregation, does a great job of reaching out into the community of people who are in need. I am just amazed at the, now I've lost the name of it in the moment, the fall campaign, Give, Love, Serve, what's that? Be Rich. The money that you give and the impact that it has in this community. And let's be honest, some of us might be kind of like, oh yeah, those people. Friends, those people are the same people that Jesus died for, just like you. Paul tells us in God's kingdom, there's no difference between man and woman, rich and poor, Jewish person and Gentile. We're all the same before God in his kingdom. So be a witness to those people you're just not sure about. And then Jesus says to the ends of the earth. I define the ends of the earth as people I thought I could never, ever possibly bring to Jesus. Who's there that you, maybe God has already put a vision in your heart and in your mind of a people group or a people somewhere that you never thought you could touch, that you could reach out to. Oh, they're so different from me. They're so far away. It's just impossible. They don't have to be far away. It can be a different people group right here. It can be a different people group just down the road. Who have you thought, oh, I could never, ever help bring those people to Jesus? That's the ends of the earth. The last church I pastored, when I arrived there, they had just begun a ministry in Haiti, providing scholarships for kids to go to school and realizing, oh, hey, kids don't do very well in school when they don't eat. So it became not only the scholarships, but meals at school. One meal a day. And then they realized, oh, hey, some of these kids are putting some of that in their pocket and taking it home for their brothers and sisters. My favorite was the little girl that put the chicken foot. She was so excited she got the chicken foot in her soup. The chicken foot. Got it? That part right there. Stuck that in her pocket, and she was taking that home, and each one of her siblings was going to get one of those little chicken fingers. Not the chicken fingers you're thinking about. But those folks, a group of them there, had this call on their lives. They knew that those were their people that they'd never thought they'd be able to touch, but God opened up an opportunity. And they began to work in one village and another. And God did amazing things, not just food, not just school, but kids that were able to go to vocational training and college and are now supporting families and making a difference back in their community, some even as leaders now of the local churches. Because somebody knew that, those are my people. And they gathered like-minded folks around them. And over the course of 8 years, we took almost, it was 25 people, 25 different people to Haiti. And there's a heart there and a love there. And even though it's impossible to go now because of all the politics and all the violence and all the danger, there is still a heart relationship there. There's still a passion for those folks. So I would ask you, who has God given you a passion for that you just can't imagine possibly reaching? If you know me, you know it's orphans in South Africa. And next week, Lord willing, if Jeff is healthy, we're going to tell you about that and other opportunities that you will have to reach out beyond our community right here. But who's your Jerusalem? Who's your Judea? Who's your Samaria? Who are the people you never thought you could reach, the very ends of the earth? Who in the world are your people? Where are your people? You see, God has called us each to be witnesses in all four of those areas. And we can't just say, well, you know, I didn't think I ever could, or I was afraid to. God has called us, and Jesus made it clear. It was the last thing he said to his disciples. And if you think it was not the most important thing he had to say, think again. So, where are you today? If you're sitting here today and you're like, man, that was a bunch of gobbledygook, it might be because you have never encountered the living God in the person of Jesus Christ. And I would invite you today to make that decision to become a follower of Jesus, to be a Christian. You can do it right here at this altar. You can make a decision and contact a staff member or a believer that you know and trust and tell them about that decision. Today, you might already know who God is calling you to be a witness to right now. And you need the power of the Holy Spirit to make that happen. You can ask him for that in your pew, but I have discovered that if you take a physical step, it affirms a decision that you've made in your heart and your mind. And today you may have no idea who God is calling you to. So I invite you to beseech the Lord. You've heard his final command and direction to you. He will show you who those people are, if you will but ask him. Let's stand together and pray. Almighty God, our kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for our Savior Jesus Christ, and we thank you that your Holy Spirit speaks into our hearts, that you call us to you. And if there's anyone this day who needs to know you, Jesus, that needs a new or a fresh encounter with the power of the living God, Father, I pray that you would give us the strength to respond. Show us who our people are. Show us where to go, because you promised to give us the words to speak. And I ask this all in the name of Jesus. Thank you. just want to speak a blessing over you and then invite you to join me in praying for our community. Pastor, staff members here in the community, there's an awful lot of influenza A and B going around now, just a lot of illness. So we're going to pray for our community right here after I speak this word of blessing over you. May the love of the Father, the presence of Jesus Christ, and the power of His Holy Spirit so fill you that you cannot but help be a witness wherever you are and wherever God has sent you. Now let's pray. Our kind and gracious Heavenly Father, this day we give you thanks for your love for us, for your care for us. We thank you for our pastor, Jeff, and for our staff here. Father, we pray that you would strengthen them who have become ill, that you would protect those who have not. We thank you for their ministry here leading us as your people. And now, Father, we pray for our community. We'll just call it the Wawasee School District, but we know it extends beyond that, Father. We pray for healing, for protection, for wisdom, even as there's illness that is so attacking so many right now. We pray for those who are most at risk that you would protect them, that you would strengthen them, that you would bring healing. And Father, for the rest of us, I pray that you would give us sense and wisdom to be people who bless our community, even in this time of illness. In Jesus' name.